Well, welcome to our session that's focused on opportunities for improving patient safety among vulnerable populations using EHRs and PHRs. I'm going to go first. I'm Manon Schladen, and what I'm going to do today is provide a little background very, very quickly just on the whole rationale for using personal health records in spinal cord injury, health information self-management. Then I'll go on to describe the case study that we did with one of our participants here in Washington, D.C. Oh, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Manon Schladen. I'm a senior research associate at National Rehabilitation Hospital and MedStar Health Research Institute here in Washington, D.C. I'm also a doctoral candidate at Nova Southeastern University in Florida. And let's see if this works. Oh, yeah. And I have nothing to disclose. The work that I'm going to describe to you was funded by this award number from the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research. I wonder if I can take this off. Probably not. The opinions expressed in here are ours, the authors, not those necessarily of National Rehab, and I have no financial interest in this. So this is the background part. I'm going to talk about really the relevance of personal health records to chronic illness and disability health information management. You've probably seen these statistics before. It's no surprise to anyone that managing chronic illness is a big problem worldwide. Non-communicable diseases, principally cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, obesity, cause 60% of deaths worldwide, make up 47% of the total global disease burden, and 7 out of 10 deaths in the United States each year result from chronic disease. There's a link between chronic illness and disability, and spinal cord injury is actually an exemplary case where when a person contracts a disability, a physical disability like spinal cord injury, which involves varying degrees of paralysis, it's very, very typical for secondary chronic conditions to follow on. So what we typically see in spinal cord injury, and it's permanent physical damage, to the person's spinal cord. Chronic infections are really highly prevalent and just followed closely by musculoskeletal, gastrointestinal, and cardiometabolic conditions. These secondary conditions are chronic health conditions, and they are above and beyond the problems that the physical disability itself brings with it. For people to manage their health after SCI, they have to coordinate a lot of services from multiple providers, both curative and preventative interventions. People with spinal cord injury, severe disabilities, and chronic conditions obviously stand to benefit a lot from a highly coordinated system of care. Ironically, people with severe disabilities tend to not have a primary care provider and actually receive fewer health maintenance services than other people do. And the reason for this is generally attributed to barriers. Most of these are system barriers. There's lack of reimbursement by insurance. Transportation, when you're using a wheelchair, is a huge issue. Very difficult to make appointments in a timely manner. Medical offices are still not wheelchair accessible. It's hard for individuals with disabilities to be seen by the provider of their choice. Many times they can't be moved to an exam table for a proper exam or receive proper diagnostics. And for instance, women with disabilities lag behind their non-disabled peers in getting mammograms. Just because they can't get to the machine. And there's a further perception of people with disabilities that medical generalists don't really understand their needs. You all may be familiar with the medical home concept where a primary care provider manages, that helps manage the care for an individual, that model is beginning to be widely disseminated, but many, many people still experience that that's not the case. So the relationship between healthcare and information is kind of obvious. Quality healthcare depends on the availability of the right information to the right people at the right time, if positive outcomes are to be appreciated. And lack of complete and accurate information decreases patient safety. It's associated with poor health outcomes and increased health resource utilization. So enter into this mix the potential of e-health. And e-health is simply very broadly defined as the use of electronic information and communication technologies to enhance the quality and safety of healthcare. The HITECH Act of 2009 established a priority in the American system to transition to e-health systems, and the Office for the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology was established by law. This office is part of HHS, and it oversees a national program of incentives to help encourage the development of our health information infrastructure. That said, it's a new program, it's still developmental, and there are difficult questions that still have to be answered as we move toward a national electronic health record. And this is just a list of some of those. What data gets shared with whom? How can you promote data integrity and still protect patient privacy? What restrictions rightly should be in place even for patients to access their own information? Are there some instances when they shouldn't have access? And if patients can annotate their data, which is often necessary, how do we maintain integrity? So the personal health record, I think, is often seen as a technology that can allow patients to bridge the gap between what the overall system is currently able to provide and their ability to manage their own health information and to protect their health and safety. In a personal health record, the key concept is that it's patient-centric and the patient is responsible and manages his or her own data. By having the patient own the data as opposed to the provider being the owner, which is now currently the case, of the data, it sidesteps a lot of issues that interfere with provider-to-provider information sharing. And I put the definition of a PHR here, personal health record. It's standards-based, interoperable, and electronic record of an individual's health-related information that is controlled by the individual. This definition is the current definition that's used by the Office of the National Coordinator. It allows consumers to store and retrieve their personal data and share it with trusted entities. They decide who to share what with, make self-management decisions based on the information that's stored, and receive care recommendations into their personal health record from providers remotely and asynchronously as they permit. Some of the most salient, most important sources of information for a PHR are obviously information imported from health providers. And this is not only physician records. Actually, the physician records lag behind other types of medical information that can be imported into personal health records. Lab results and pharmacy results are very highly importable into today's personal health records. Another burgeoning application is to upload health data from home health devices, particularly glucometers, blood pressure monitors, even scales. The personal health record also allows the individual to manually update information, to annotate errors, and add depth to information that may not be there. PHRs also can contain insurance information. There are several different platforms that have been proposed and have been developed. Tethered PHRs to providers, electronic medical records, are fairly common. Kaiser operates probably one of the best known tethered personal health record. The information in a tethered personal health record typically is not easily transferable. The patient has a right to that information, but for instance, if I leave Kaiser at the end of the year, I can't take my information and put it in my own personal health record electronically. I have to use a transfer service. Insurance providers also have provided tethered PHRs. Actually, Medicare has a blue button program that allows some portability of people's Medicare information. There are numerous commercial PHRs available. Some are free, some are not, some are standards-based, some are not. Microsoft Health Vault is probably one of the best known free, online, readily available personal health record platforms. They call themselves a platform, not a record, and you'll see why as we move on. PHRs are typically now online. Some are device-based. There's been a lot of effort to take an online record and automatically transfer it to a USB key that can then be carried by the individual or to smartphones. Nice application for the iPhone was Google Health. Unfortunately, Google Health decided to go out of the PHR business. Less commonly now are desktop computer-based applications. So the field is moving very, very quickly because the technology is moving quickly. So how am I doing on time? I'm okay. All right. That's background. So what I'm going to describe now is a case study that we carried out on the usefulness of PHRs in SCI Health, spinal cord injury health promotion. Our participant is Mark Lane. He's a 46-year-old male with C5-6 tetraplegia. Selected this patient purposely initially because there were several criteria wanted to meet in this initial highly exploratory activity. We picked somebody who had a relatively severe spinal cord injury disability. He has very little use of his. He uses a power chair. There's very little use of his hands. We also picked somebody who was pretty tech savvy and pretty well educated, because we didn't want to run up against the immediate, you know, roadblock of, oh, I don't have a computer or I don't have access to the internet, because remember, a PHR is an electronic record. Mark was previously employed, long-term employed, actually as a government contractor. He was unemployed at the time of participation in the study, which is one of the ways we got him to participate in the study. He's been very, very active in advocacy work. His injury resulted from a diving accident at age 20, so he has been living with spinal cord injury for 26 years. And as I said before, he uses a power chair, and apart from his service dog, Gilly, his right hand is his smartphone, his Droid. So our study goals were to just explore the general utility and usability of a PHR to meet the health-related information needs of a person who was living with SCI and managing SCI and everything that goes with it. And we wanted to explore information formats and PHR applications that could be of use to a person with spinal cord injury. And we had four study questions, and we were interested in the types of information that people with SCI need to access, use, and share to manage their health, the tasks that are involved in gathering, using, and sharing this health-related information to support healthcare self-management, and what barriers stand between people with SCI and managing their health-related information, and finally, what affordance, what use any a PHR can provide in managing health after SCI. So we approach this problem by facilitating a construction of a personal health record by our participant. We were looking for real-life context of health information self-management. In other words, the record would be his record and would come from his life, not be imposed by us on what we thought he needed. So across four stages, planning, development, use, and evaluation, we explored creating this personal health record for our participant. The immediate problem that emerged from our work was that there aren't any task models for health information self-management. It's not something that people have traditionally done. It's been done by providers, not by individuals. It's not like balancing a checkbook. People have a model for doing that. So we needed a starting point. Fortunately, Michelle Mead, with PBA funding back in 2009, had developed this manual called Health Mechanics, Tools for Self-Management of Spinal Cord Injury and Disease. And what we basically did is we walked this manual and looked at all, thank you, oh my goodness, looked at all of the criteria that she had set forth and decided which would be useful to be managed in a PHR. I have to go really, really fast. We used eHealth2Go as the initial platform. eHealth2Go is a product that was developed by the Diabetes Institute at MedStar Health. We used it because it's ours, and it was there, and people were kind enough to let us use it. The data that is in eHealth2Go is managed in Microsoft Health Vault. And in fact, the user has to set up a Health Vault account before they can set up their eHealth2Go account. eHealth2Go is a much friendlier interface, user interface, to Microsoft Health Vault, which tends to be kind of like used to be like reading a spreadsheet. They've improved it. Notably, I just want to say here now is that the Office of the National Coordinator has certified several standards to use with PHRs and EMRs, with the ultimate hope that as EMRs become more broadly disseminated, there can be information exchange between them. And in phase two, we looked at the USB-based PHR and the smartphone-based PHR, where the individual wasn't just working on the computer, where he actually downloaded the information or accessed the information remotely and took it on the go. So eHealth2Go wasn't really on the go. Our situations of interest were health self-management. I'm not going to finish. What am I going to do here? Okay. Information exchange with providers during routine encounters. Information exchange with providers during emergency encounters, which is enormously important to people with spinal cord injury who have many, many emergent episodes. And then we wanted to see how the PHR was useful or not useful. Okay, our outcomes, basically, high level, is it was not useful for day-to-day self-management. People with spinal cord injury do things like on day-to-day management, they do skin examination. Pressure ulcers are a huge risk for people with paralysis. There was really no point in documenting. We tried this. You could take a picture of a little redness and document it. It was too burdensome. It wasn't useful. It didn't need to be done. A bowel program has to be done regularly. Again, it was something that a person did not need to record. They knew it. Medication tracking was a key issue. Our participant was on, one time during the study, maybe 10 different medications that were continually changing. And he had previously had a life-threatening experience of being given the wrong medication because his records were not up to date with a former provider. That was an extremely salient advantage of the PHR. Also useful was being able to carry with him just an explanation of what spinal cord injury is and what the risks are. The friendliness of the user interface was a big problem. Because our participant didn't have use of his hands, he used speech-to-text technology, and he used it very well. It didn't work really well with Health Vault, and it didn't work really well with eHealth2Go. These were like afterthoughts in the design. So he required a lot of support to input the data initially because he couldn't use his usual systems. What we found to our surprise was commercial providers who provide partial electronic health records like CVS, Pharmacy, Quest, Diagnostics, were ready and able to share all of that information in a standards compliant way with their clients. The user interfaces were clean, easy to navigate. Smartphone apps were available, and the information available through these apps was much richer than that that could be transferred through the standards based data exchange to pull it back into the PHR. And as I put down at the bottom, our participant noted, he said, gee, okay, I know how to solve all my problems. I'll just always go to CVS. And that's what he's doing. This is not really clear, but I'm hoping you can kind of see what's going on here. This record down here is his record from CVS, where you see you have providers' names and addresses and phone numbers. It's just a very rich interface. It ends up, and it's got all of the dates of all of his medication, and it's all in an orderly fashion. I can't do this in 1 minute. I need another 5 minutes. Okay. It'll be good. They said they only have 15 minutes, and then we still have 20 minutes at the end. This is how it ended up going into Health Vault, and there was a hiccup. Some of his medications were duplicated. The only way to get rid of those was to go back in and delete them by hand, and that transferred right to eHealth to Go, which was actually 3 steps removed from the source of data. Another thing we looked at was the readiness of providers to accept electronic information from patients. We were fortunate, I hate to put it this way, we were fortunate that our participant did have an emergency situation during the study. He ended up in the emergency room with his USB-based PHR. He took the USB-based PHR, handed it to the emergency room doc. I'm not sure what he did with it, but the response was, how cool is this? He got all of the participants' information off of it. When the participant was kind of out of it and sick and not really in good shape to provide his information, it was highly successful. We worry about this application because more and more hospitals are locking down USB access, and we anticipate that this is not going to be feasible in the near future. We did an exercise in training with our residents, however, where we used a smartphone app. This is a different approach where the patient simply hands the doctor the smartphone, and the doctor can navigate the smartphone. We found every single one of our residents knew exactly what to do with that iPhone with the app on it. And in debrief, this was a training exercise, but in debrief, these were PGY2 residents. They said they weren't sure about this, but all of them during their first year of residency had at least one patient do this. I think it's highly promising. Anyway, so these are just this is just a screenshot of the smartphone app PHR. You can see how clean it is. If you remember the other screen, it's just really unnavigable. And this is the kind of nifty USB key. So I guess I've sort of already gone there. I think the way of the future is smartphone-mediated healthcare information exchange. I know right now we work with somebody with a master's degree, and there's an issue of access. But as we see, people who don't have that kind of education or economic wherewithal, cell phones have become common among those folks. So we anticipate as smartphones become more common, they're going to be more broadly disseminated within society, and these records will really be accessible. The commercial providers are so far ahead of everyone else. Obviously, they're into marketing. They want customers, and they got one with our participant. And I already mentioned the security problems with the USB devices. This is just one final screenshot, and then I'm going to get off and give you the podium. This is Walgreens app. Really, really clean pharmacy refill interface. You can type in your prescription, or you've got the bottle there. You can just scan it. I'm sorry.